Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
6 years ago, it was supposed to be done, and we're supposed to wait 15, 20 years, but like walking around Patriot's Place, walking into that building, and yet there is a difference. I used to walk around that building like with eggshells and like, I don't want to ask the wrong question, don't want to be in the wrong place, can't have... There was a levity to it. There was a joy to it. It was like, imagine the Patriots regime with a smile. That's what this was yesterday. They were actually... happy and pleasant and, hey, Shrank, great to see you, and not, why are you standing there? Like, it's a whole different vibe from the Belichick era, and yet the same results so far, and it's early, but I was blown away by this team, and it's amazing to me that with all the downtrodden franchises, whether it be the Raiders fans, the Browns fans, the Jets fans, that somehow, some way, it took 6 years since Brady's last game in New England, and they're already the number one seed again and sitting at the top of the perch in the NFL. It's wild.
Time now for the Christian Arcan Show. Yo, it's all Arcan. On WEEI.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here at WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios. We are powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original. And tonight, we are here with you for...
about 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
No, Mr. Jones, we're actually here for 90 minutes tonight. Leading into Thursday Night Football. Good game tonight. Cowboys, Lions, the two teams that always play on Thanksgiving, playing on another Thursday here with a full week. That's kind of interesting. But yeah, here it is tonight. Both of these teams desperately need a win, and we will have it for you right here on your home for Thursday Night Football, WEEI. What you just heard there was Peter Schrager on the Pat McAfee Show extolling just how great and how high the vibes are and how happy everybody is. Joy in the building. Used to walk on eggshells. Now it's, hey, Shrigs, what's going on, Shrigs? Which sounds great. I mean, that does sound good. Walking through the guts of that stadium, having someone call you by your cool nickname. I mean, it sounds awesome. It does. We wouldn't know. But, yeah, that does sound like a nice experience. And it's noticeable to people like Schrager. Anybody who was around in the last 20 years, anyone who was around for all those years of Bill Belichick and the way that he ran that building and, you know, all the success that came with it, obviously. I'm not trying to say that it didn't work or anything, but just it was a different way of doing things. It was a different vibe. It was very, very different. It was different from a lot of other teams. There weren't a lot of other teams, really, that operated like that. People would come to the Patriots. I remember hearing this all the time. Free agents, guys would get traded to the Patriots, sign as free agents, whatever it is. And they'd say, I've never been on a team like this. I've never worked in a place like this before. That was a very common thing. You heard that all the time from players who played on in other places and then ended up there. Guys sharing stories about, you know, what things are like. And it wasn't all positive all the time. Certainly not. You want evidence of that? Just go look at these NFLPA report cards the last couple of years. It's certainly not always, you know, sunshine and roses. But it was definitely.
Have fun with that.
Thank you. Yes, it was definitely noticeable. And Traeger noticed it. What I noticed there in what he had to say, which I think is pretty interesting. But the very end, close to the end, when he started talking about, you know, it's only been 5 or 6 years since the last Super Bowl, since, you know, Brady left, that era ended, that door closed. And they're already back on top of the perch. They've already ascended back to the top of not just the AFC, but like the entire league right now.
It took team. 6 years since Brady's last game New England, and they're already the number one seed again.
That got me thinking a little bit. Got me thinking about other dynasties. And I'm not going to go back super far because even like the Steelers dynasty, for example, was before my time. I know the timeline of it, and I remember the key players and the key details just through, you know, football history or whatever. But I'm not going to go too much further back than that. In my, you know, including that, I'd say in my lifetime, there's the Chiefs dynasty, which is going on right now. So that one's sort of voided because you don't really know how much longer it's going to go on for. And then, you know, once it ends, how long it takes the Chiefs to be good again. That's all stuff that we'll know sometime in the future. But we've had the Patriots dynasty, Cowboys, Niners, and Steelers. I don't really consider Washington and Joe Gibbs to be a dynasty because they were spread out so much. The Niners, you can say, that one at the end with Steve Young, maybe not exactly part of that same dynasty. It was just another championship that they won. But either way, let's take a look at these teams because all three of them, the Dallas Cowboys right now still searching for answers since the 90s. So, I mean, in some cases, it takes an extremely long time, a lot longer than 6 years. But the timeline for the Steelers, for example, 69, Noel gets hired. Mean Joe Green, I know, very nice. Mean Joe Green gets drafted. And then that next year, they have this crazy draft. They draft Terry Bradshaw and Mel Blount in the first round. First and third round, excuse me. Bradshaw first overall, Blount in the third round. 1971, they draft Jack Ham, future Hall of Famer. 72, Franco Harris. And that was the season that they had the Immaculate Reception Game. 1974, best draft class maybe in the history of football. Mike Webster, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Jack Lambert, all drafted that year, all Hall of Famers. Next year, they win their first Super Bowl, 74. 75, they win another one. 76, the Steel Curtain has that crazy season, but they don't win. 78, they win their third title. 79, they win their fourth in 6 years. And no one's done. The Patriots have never done that. They never won 4 in 6 years. They've had 3 in 5 years, 3 in 4 years, but never 4 in 6. And that's one thing that you can say. The 2 years after that, they missed the playoffs. Some of that was due to, like, rule changes. The Steel Curtain with the defense, like, offensive lines were allowed to block differently, and, like, there was different sort of things that went into that. Bradshaw got injured. They did make it back to the AFC Championship game in 84, but they lost. Didn't make it that far again until 94. That was Cowher's third year, and that was Neil O'Donnell, Rod Woodson. They made it to a Super Bowl in 95, got thumped, didn't win a Super Bowl again until 2005. So until they were, like, on top of the mountain again was a 25-year gap between 1980 and 2005. They had other appearances, but I think those Neil O'Donnell years, no one really ever thought they were the best team. You know, they made it the furthest, but it was never like, and you remember in those years, the Giants and the 49ers just won every single year, it seemed like. So whoever, whatever team was the sacrificial lamb from the AFC ended up just getting blown out. Anyway, 25 years between the end of the Steel Curtain and the next time the Steelers were winning Super Bowls. Then there's the Niners. Niners, 1979, draft Montana, hire Bill Walsh. In 1981, they draft Ronnie Lott. 81, they also win their first Super Bowl, beating the Bengals. 84, they go 15-1. That Super Bowl, they beat the Dolphins. So they've already got two. Then they draft Jerry Rice in 85. Trade for Steve Young. 88, they win again. That's Bill Walsh's final game. They beat the Bengals again. Seifert comes in. They win the year after that. destroy the Denver Broncos. I remember that Super Bowl. It was one of the worst ever. And then in 91, Montana gets injured. Steve Young takes over. They win again in 1995. Weird dynasty, kind of. Kind of sprawling. Four Super Bowls in 9 years. They lost in the NFC Championship game 3 out of the next 4 years, and they missed the playoffs once. Won it again in 1995. 95, is that still part of the dynasty? That's debatable. Either way, a tremendous run there for that group. And then they weren't good again until 2011. They had those Jeff Garcia TO years afterwards, but never really got back to anything. 2011, Harbaugh comes in. There was Kaepernick. They made it back to the Super Bowl. They were in the conference championship again. They didn't win, but one appearance, two NFC championship games, 15-year gap. I'd say those 3 years, they were back at the top of the NFC at the very least, or near it. And that was 15 years removed, 1995 to 2011, so 16 years, but around that, 15, 16 years. And then there's the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
The Dallas Cowboys in the 1990s really started in 89. Jerry Jones buys the team. He hires Jimmy Johnson. 89, they draft Aikman. 1990, they draft Emmitt Smith. 93, that was the triplets. They beat the Bills. They beat the brakes off the Bills in 1992. 93, they went back-to-back. 94, that's the year that Steve Young came in and stopped them from four-peating, basically. And then 95, they went again. They beat the Steelers. 3 and 4 years, Steve Young preventing the four-peat. The Dallas Cowboys have not been back to the NFC Championship game since. 29 years and counting. So, let me put it to you this way. The Patriots right now, they haven't actually accomplished anything yet other than having a very good regular season through the first 13 weeks, okay? And that's an accomplishment on certain levels, but we're talking about dynasties and recovering from dynasties here, okay? This is like big-time stuff. This is big-time NFL stuff we're talking about right now. And if they were to, let's just say, hypothetically, that the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year. Just think about it. You kind of have to be of the right age, I guess, because the Patriots have been so dominant for so long. These teams all had their decades. The Cowboys in the 60s, the Steelers in the 70s. You got the Niners in the 80s and 90s, the Cowboys in the 90s. And then after that, there was sort of, you know, no real clear distinguished champion. There was the Packers, these other teams winning here and there. But it wasn't until the Patriots that there was another great dynasty. And that dynasty went on for 20 years. I mean, really, it was a 20-year-long thing. Now, there was a 10-year gap in between the dynasties that went from 2004 to 2014. But even within those 10 years, the only year that they missed the playoffs was the year that Brady got hurt. That was it. In that 10-year stretch where they didn't win a Super Bowl, but they were still in two Super Bowls, plenty of AFC championship games, and were still very relevant and didn't really fade away. That, I think, was, you know, a key part of that. That's why you look at the two dynasties as separate things, but the entire 20-year run is still so significant. These other teams, these other dynasties I just listed there, didn't have that. They didn't have that. The Steelers were probably the closest, but not 20 years. Definitely not 20 years. Niners, not even close. Cowboys, not really close at all, and haven't been close since then. And now here are the Patriots with Drake May, a 23-year-old MVP at this point in the season. And the coach of the year in Mike Vrabel, that they, I don't want to say moved heaven and earth to get in here, but there was definitely a lot of maneuvering that led to Mike Vrabel and his hiring, which ran concurrent to the other plan that they had already come up with, which I think for the Crafts, I know that this isn't going to really play into it, but I do think that if you're like looking at resume things to tick off on a Hall of Fame resume, Robert Kraft firing Gerard Mayo and bringing in Mike Vrabel has got to be a big one on the plus side. It really does. Because it's not often that owners have to make big calls like that. You know, like they hire coaches, they fire coaches. That happens. It's rare that you make a big deal out of bringing in this one guy that you really like and that you've had for 5 years. You know he's going to replace the greatest coach of all time. And you bring him in and it's a disaster. You acknowledge that right away and you fire him. And then you bring in Mike Vrabel, and it's the best move anyone's ever made in the history of football. I mean, that's what it looks like, right? It really is. And that's sort of how these things all start. You know, Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh. It's really, you know, like that's important. Having the guy, bringing him in, letting him sort of build the culture, build the team up, build the roster. Vrabel's already done a tremendous job in both of those categories. This roster that he's built is very, very good. And the culture that he's built is, as you just heard from Schrager right there, top-notch. And we've been having these conversations about ownership and how much do the owners matter. And I don't mean to sit here and suck up to Robert Kraft. Lord knows I've criticized the Krafts enough here on these airwaves. But I think that this right now, what they're on the precipice of potentially doing in getting back to the top of the AFC, potentially the top of the NFL, just 6 years after a 20-year freaking long dynasty, is, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous if you think about it. It is kind of insane. But it's also, I think, a tremendous, tremendous credit to the Krafts. It is. How can you say it's not? He's just got lucky with Bill Belichick. Okay, well, he didn't get lucky here. He didn't get lucky with Dish. Gerard Mayo, that was not a lucky situation. That was not a good situation they were in. He had to go back on everything he had said, all these big proclamations that he made about how great Gerard Mayo was and how he worked in whatever it was, in the Optimum or whatever that corporate job that he had. Like, all these things. He was on the plane to Israel, and I saw what kind of great leader he was and blah, 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 blah.
I appreciate, you know, Thunder and the organization.
The young Thundercat and all that, and it was okay, like, that's great, but this isn't working, and he's in way over his head.
Young
and
Thundercat.
He recognized that, and he corrected it. And he didn't just correct it. He brought in, by all accounts, the absolute right guy. The absolute 100% right guy. And that, I think, is just in and of itself a tremendous accomplishment, especially when compared to the other dynasties in recent memory. I mean,
hopefully championships.
This is what we're talking about here. Like, this is the conversations that you become a part of. And then when the dynasty's over, well, how long does it take you to get back? Dallas Cowboys haven't been America's team in 36 years. I mean, it's, you know, we're going on a long time here. 26 years, whatever it is. Like, it's been an awfully long time. 49ers have flashed and, you know, had some moments there. The Steelers have won some Super Bowls, sure. It took them a long time, but they did get back there. This is unprecedented, what the Patriots are potentially doing here, if they can finish the job, and that's a big if. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got lots of room for you here on the show. We're only going until 7:30, so if you want to get in early and often. I saw something on NBC Sports Boston today about MVPs, players who won the MVP in their second seasons. It's an interesting list. A lot of quarterbacks on it. Not all quarterbacks. We'll get to that with your phone calls right after Joe Braverman and get you caught up on what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Bruins are back in the ice as they host old friend Jim Montgomery and the St. Louis Blues. Jonas Korpisalo will be in net for the Bees. Victor Soderstrom will make his team debut after being recalled on an emergency basis following Michael Callahan being placed on injured reserve. Puck drop from TD Garden less than an hour from now at 7 o'clock. The Celtics are also in action. They're down in D.C. to take on the Washington Wizards. This is the first of a back-to-back as the Lakers will come to town tomorrow night. Jaylen Brown is out for tonight's game with a non-COVID illness. Alex Saar, Bilal Coulibaly, and Corey Kispert out for the Wizards. Tip-off also set for 7 o'clock. Week 14, the NFL kicks off tonight with the Cowboys taking on the Lions from Ford Field. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football right here on 937 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30. Kickoff is at 8:15. In Patriots news, running back Travion Henderson was named NFL Offensive Rookie of the Month for the month of November. Henderson is the sixth Patriot rookie to win a monthly award. He ran for 330 yards and 5 touchdowns last month. Tight end Hunter Henry was also named Pat's representative for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. The winner will be announced Thursday before the Super Bowl. And from around the rest of the NFL, cornerback Darius Slay will not report to the Buffalo Bills after being claimed yesterday to mull his future. Eagles defensive lineman Jalen Carter is out for Monday Night Football after double shoulder surgery. And Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert plans to play in that same game following his surgery on a fractured left hand. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DEIF. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I love what New England is doing, and it has a lot of shades of what they did during their great Super Bowl runs. A lot of the same concepts, a lot of the same, play design, so to speak, across the board. And it gives answers for the quarterback. And it just seems to fit with how Drake May sees the game. He's fast. He's quick with his decision making. He knows where he wants to go with the football. He knows what he's looking at. If it's not there, he's going to take off or drop it down for a check down. They push the ball down the field when they need to. But it's just, to me, I love the system and I love the answers that Josh has given him. They don't have to overcomplicate it. Good, solid concepts across the board. And if a quarterback knows what he's doing, you can have great success. Although he's a good athlete and he makes some plays with his feet, he's winning the games with his mind and with his arm more than anything else. And I think Josh McDaniels has been the perfect fit for him. And, in this football team.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. That was Kurt Warner on the Rich Eisen Show. As most people are these days, gushing about Drake May. And also the system that he's in. And Josh McDaniels and what a great fit he has been. And I think all of that's true. And I think all of that is very good news. As I was just telling you about Robert Kraft and how this is such a great reflection of him as an owner. Real quick, a texter said, hey, Arcand. Don't you also blame Kraft for the idiocy of hiring Mayo in the first place? Yeah, sure, I do. But it was quick. I mean, it was brief, right? Like it's not like he was stubborn about it. It's not like he was, now I'm sticking with my guy. One season, and he recognized what was right in front of him. A lot of owners don't do that. A lot of owners stick. How long did Jerry Jones stick with these humps that he had? His coaches here recently, Jason Garrett, and the rest of those guys. Like and he sticks with them. That was the one place I think Bill should have gone. I thought they should have fired what's his name, who was just there, who they just moved on from, and brought in Belichick. Who the hell was it? He was McCarthy. Thank you very much. That would have been probably the best landing spot for Bill, I would think. But now Jerry wanted to stick with his guy. Jerry, other owners who are in the Hall of Fame, stuck with their guys way too long. At the very least, you can say that Kraft recognized what was, very plain to everybody. And even though it probably would, hurt his pride a little bit, he went back on it and did the right thing. So I give him a ton of credit for that. I do. I don't think that's an easy thing for an owner and a billionaire and a proud guy like Robert Kraft to have done. And he did it. And it's worked out about as well as it possibly could have. That being said, with the Drake May situation, and Drake May now basically the favorite for the MVP, he's not won it yet. It's not like it's his his award. I think there's still plenty of time for all sorts of things to happen. Five games, you know how much can happen in five games, good and bad? I still think that if Matthew Stafford continues to play the way he played before that last game against Carolina, which was his worst game of the year, then he'll probably nudge back in front. Just based on the fact that he's been in the league a long time. I think there's a lot of politics that goes into these MVP votes sometimes. And the Rams are, you know, in a better conference, I guess. Like, there's other reasons for it. But either way, I thought there was a interesting piece on NBC Sports Boston about other players who won the MVP in their second season. And we'll get to that list in just a minute. But first, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. We'll lead things off with Kelly in Amherst, who has a thought on the Patriots. Hi, Kelly.
Christian, my man, what's up? I haven't talked to you since Thanksgiving. Real quick, I just want to mention, I did go through New York, Philly, Baltimore, and Charlotte on my trip. I listened to sports radio in every one of them. We can't cover all that, but just to drop, listening to the New York people bitch about how bad both of their teams are right now. It was unbelievably fun, and it just makes it that much more fun now to be the Patriots. I don't know whether the dynasty's back. You know what you're saying? We can't get too excited. They haven't done anything yet. You got that part right, definitely. But, dude, with Drake the Snake in the backfield, I'm telling you, he's got quicks like Julian Edelman. The way he can get away, like, he doesn't have that breakout speed, but the way he can just get away, his reflexes are insane. You know, I'm watching that Giants game. There's one time where they had three guys right on him. He just goes, geeks out, you know, gets away. I think it is absolutely on the table for these Patriots to go all the way and win this Super Bowl. But a little bit wet blanket, I will say, maybe we should wait till then before we start getting excited about how the dynasty's back. But I'm with you, dude. This team, sky's the limit, and I'm really pumped. That's all I got.
Thanks, Kelly. Good stuff.
You excited?
They're having a tough time in New York. It's tough in the Big Apple right now. The Jets, but I mean, I don't know what they expected, but blow up the team. I mean, that's going to happen. The Giants, more was expected from these Giants, I think. Not much more. I don't think anyone expected them to be a playoff team. And they have had some plucky losses, you know, where they looked pretty good, but they still lost. That thing on Monday, I think that broke a lot of New York fans. It definitely broke the overnight guy at FAN. That guy's up there crying about a play. He didn't have to do it. Yeah, okay. I guess not, but he did. And Jackson Dart didn't have a problem with it, so
that's bull.
Not sure why you do there, McGonagall. Anyway, back to the phones. Let's go to Aaron, who is up in the great state of Maine. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
First of all, just want to say great show. Listen to you every night on the way home. Sure. Great takes. I just want to say it's ridiculous, the people that are saying, you know, if we don't win a Super Bowl, we haven't really done anything, you know, and it's like a broken season. I mean, I think we need to take a moment and just realize that we're kind of acting like spoiled kids.
Yes. Yes, I am.
If we're not winning a Super Bowl, it's nothing. Like, we have went through 3 years of basically crap. And to have the season we've had and have the reason to cheer that we've had, and if we make a run in the playoffs, you know, even if it doesn't end in a Super Bowl, like, that's a heck of a year.
I'd agree. And thank you, Aaron. Thank you for the call. I'm not of the belief that making it to the Super Bowl and not winning would be a disappointment. I'm not even of the belief that making it to the AFC Championship game and not winning is a disappointment. If they don't make it to the AFC Championship game, I'll be disappointed. You're 11-2, okay? If you don't make it that far, then that means you will have been upset, probably, right? Like, I'm assuming that they're going to finish the year like 14-3, which is, even just to say it out loud, it's like 14-3. But that's probably it, you know, like 13-4 at the worst. And I don't think that'll happen. I think they're going to split these next two and win the last two. Unless they like sit everybody, unless they have it all cinched up. Against the Dolphins or the Jets, I forget who. But, like, unless it's all completely cinched up and they decide to start Josh Dobbs that week, then, like, okay, fine. And that last game against the Dolphins and they go 13-4. But that's, like, rock bottom. Pretty much what I consider
from this point out to be, and just, you know, assuming that there's no big injuries or anything, but like, you know, we've been checking off the boxes all season long. Oh, this one might be a lot. Nope, this one might be a lot. No. Okay, well, here we are, back to the Bills again. I'm not checking off a loss there. Ravens either. Ravens just got beat by the Bengals. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not scared of them. I'm not scared of anything. If you're the Patriots right now, who are you scared of? Team in the NFC, maybe? Yeah, okay, fine. There's some scary teams in the NFC. I'm not really that scared of them. I don't know how you can be. Like, you have Drake May. He's just, the teams are scared of him. He's scaring other people. Listen to the FAN. You know, listen to the overnight. They're terrified. They're petrified of this guy.
They're scared.
Mike is in Medway. Hey, Mike. Mike?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Hey, hey, Christian, great job. Hey, I want to first agree with your point about Kraft. Showing the humility to fire Mayo after all the stuff he said, it would have been very easy for him to say, hey, let's give Gerard the start of the second year.
Sure.
And by then, they fired him six games in, and now Vrabel's gone somewhere else. But secondly, you mentioned roster and culture, and I'd also say coaching staff. Like, the Vrabel upgraded the coaching staff to such a level, and I think a lot of people are saying it, but I think it's like one of the rule three. Like, those coaches that he hired have helped make the roster better because they've evaluated the right talent. Like, when they got rid of Peppers and other people that were names, people were shocked. But his coaches knew what he wanted to do, and so they kept the right people, and they're coaching him up. And so when Will Campbell goes out, you know, the thing that Darian Lowe held a lot better than he did last year. So I think the coaching piece is a big piece too.
Yeah, I agree with that, Mike. Thanks for the call. I'd even give that to Kraft a little bit too, more so than Mike Vrabel, because I think Kraft was more the motivator for Josh McDaniels to come here than maybe Mike Vrabel was. I think Vrabel had his own guys. He had his own offense guys that, you know, he had in Tennessee, or that he just, you know, that he liked and wanted to bring them in, and brought some of them with him. Like, he talks about some of his offensive guys. Like, that's, you know, oftentimes when he gets asked about Josh McDaniels, he'll bring up these other guys. But I think that was, you know, it makes sense. Josh coached while Mike was here, I think, right? So that, you know, that makes sense that maybe he was looking somewhere else, or that he had his own, you know, his own group. Not part of the Bill Belichick coaching tree either, Mike Vrabel. Definitely not. And that, I think, was another part of this that was surprising. It's someone that they were familiar with, but it wasn't just, all right, bring in the next Bill disciple. No, he cut his teeth elsewhere. He cut his teeth at Ohio State. He came up and coached in Tennessee. Like, he sort of did his own thing. And you can tell already, just in the first 13 weeks, that if there was any influence from Bill Belichick, it is not very noticeable, right? I mean, there's some things that you can say are similar. No days off, no naps, like stuff like that. Some of the same kind of phrasing and maybe motivational tactics, but not even really that. Like, I'm not hearing a ton of bulletin board material and the disrespect and all that stuff. You don't hear a lot of that. He does motivate the players, but it doesn't really seem like he uses those same similar tactics that Bill did. And I'm not in the building. I don't really know that. I mean, Mega would probably know better than I would.
No days off.
Anybody else who covers the team could probably speak more to that than I could, but I don't hear a lot about that. I don't read a lot about how, yeah, it seems like Vrabel's really trying to mimic the Belichick anything, like anything. He got rid of all of Bill's players. He has a totally different outlook and attitude and everything. It's just, it's very, very different, and it's working. And that, I think, is a testament to him and also a testament to Robert Kraft. As for the list of players who won NFL MVP in their second pro season, I was reading Nick Goss on NBC Sports Boston. He had a piece on this today. I thought it was interesting. Every single one of these players is either a Hall of Famer already or will be after they retire. The list is players who won MVP in their second pro season. Number one, Jim Brown, my dad's favorite football player of all time. Browns in 1958. That was his second year. Earl Campbell, the Oilers, 1979. Dan Marino, who some of you may have heard of, quarterback, Dolphins, 84. Kurt Warner, Rams, 1999. The other two are playing right now. Not right now, this moment, but in the league right now. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Mahomes in 2018, Jackson in 2019. And we did this exercise recently, didn't we, about like ages of the MVPs and how it's rare that you see, like, outside of Jackson and Mahomes, you have to go back a ways to find like young MVP. It's just, it doesn't happen that often. Rodgers was in his mid-20s. Breeze was a little bit later on in his career. Like, you know, it's a 23-year-old. That's outside of those 2 years with Mahomes and Jackson, which, you know, did happen pretty recently. But other than that, it's hard to find a lot of examples of that. But all of those guys, Hall of Fame. And this is, again, something that I am not guaranteeing Drake May is going to accomplish yet, because there is still time for things to go haywire, right? You never know what's going to happen. He hasn't really had, like, a bad game. You got to give him the grace for at least a bad game. Tom Brady every once in a while would have, like, a really bad, just a stinker, and you're like, ugh, what was that? You haven't really had one of those. You've had games that weren't as good as the other games, but, like, you haven't had one where it's like, man, Drake May sucks. Like, he really sucks today. There was, like, the bad start to the Bengals game and other, you know, quarters and series and stuff where he didn't look great. But I don't think there's ever been one whole game where you're like, man, not this year anyway. Last year I'd have to go back and really look, but, like, this year I don't think there was one. Like, not a single one where I'm like, man, he really sucks today. And at the end of the game, I still thought that. Like, it's just, that hasn't happened. So I think you have to, at least in these final five games, a young player still very early in his career who has been remarkably consistent so far. It is still football. It is still the NFL. And there has to be some sort of allowance that the kid is going to go out there and lay an egg. Hasn't happened yet. But, you know, you'd rather it happen now than before the playoffs start. And I'm of the belief that that's a very, very reasonable thing to expect. And that could hurt his MVP chances. But really, I mean, that's it. There's not much else to really nitpick there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Travion Henderson picked up two awards today. We'll get to that in the season that he's having with your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after this.
And they've ran it every time, and they do it again.
They toss it.
I didn't love it.
Henderson got it away. He's got a chance to show off that speed. Henderson breaks the second one for a touchdown.
Oh, my gosh. He looked over at the coaching staff to say, should I go in to score or should I not? Should I go down? I've never seen that before, Jim.
That's a highlight right there from your AFC Rookie of the Week and AFC Rookie of the Month, Travion Henderson. How about that? That game that we just played the clip from right there, was that the Jets game?
Tampa.
That was the Tampa game where he had the touch, where he checked with the bench. That's right. And then he had two touchdowns the next week against the Jets. So that's how I got confused. All those touchdowns, I got confused. Four touchdowns in a month. That one game with 147 yards, that's gonna pump you right up there in terms. And there's a lot of good rookies this year. There's a lot of good rookies in the AFC. They've had big weeks, but good for Henderson. And I think that when you look at, even if you take away like the big games, like even if you take away that 147 yard game, because that's obviously the outlier here, it's still a pretty good season. You know, like you're looking at a guy who got off to a slow start for sure, definitely a slow start up until around like the Cleveland game. I think that's when he really started to pop. Stevenson with the injury, the fumbles, and Henderson really started to break out a little bit there, started catching the ball more, and is now being honored as the top rookie of the month. And that's great. I mean, listen, this team's got a lot going for it right now. I feel like they're winning a lot of awards. Drake May's the AFC Player of the Week. They got special teams players of the week. They've had Chase and be the defensive player of the week. And now here's Henderson, the rookie of the week and the rookie of the month. This team's racking up awards, and I'm here for it. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Colton in Chicopee. Go ahead, Colton.
Hey, what's up, Arcan? Hey,
what's going on?
You know, coming into the season, I'm thinking they may have to upgrade running back at some point, but like you're just saying, Henderson's really come along. My question is, you know, next year, do you think they're going to get rid of Stevenson, possibly draft a back? But here I am thinking maybe they go O-line or possibly front seven. So thinking what you wanted to, you know, what you would think them going for in the first round next year.
Okay, Colton, thanks for the call. I guess we're on to 2026 already. That's okay. As far as the running back position is concerned, I'm excited about Travion Henderson. I don't know how you couldn't be. And what it seems like he's developing into, but I still think that there's some flaws to his game, obviously. I don't think he's a finished product. And the problem with running backs in this league is that you don't have a lot, you don't have a big window. You know, for every Derrick Henry, most guys are just out of the league in like 3 years. And I'm not saying that Henderson's going to be out in 3 years, but, you know, that's general. Like, the running back life cycle, there's a reason why Bill cycled through him so fast. That was one thing Bill was very, very good at, which, again, I know is illegal to talk about. But he was very good at knowing when to draft the next running back and to move on from the guy that they had. And that, I think, sort of was, in some ways, like, in direct contrast. Like, you know how the running backs just had that big revolt recently where they're like, hey, you got to pay us more. Like, we're the top stars in the league, McCaffrey and Henry and all those guys. And they ended up getting paid. But, like, Bill didn't ever want to pay his running backs. Ever. He never would have gave Ramondre Stevenson that second contract. Never. No chance. And he went through them fast. You know, Sony Michel, Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, et cetera. Like, when it was over, it was over. And he was on to the next one. And that was just part of the system. That was part of the machine here.
Yeah, I don't think he ever signed a running back to a second contract. Like Lawrence Maroney, Ben Jarvis, yeah. Green Ellis, Shane Vereen.
Ridley, I don't think so. Like, I don't think any of those guys got second deals. They did sign Corey Dillon. But that doesn't really count like that. You know, that was a guy who was already an established player. And that was 21 years ago. So, you know, like it's been a while since then, and a lot of seasons and a lot of running backs in between. And he kind of just, you know, used them up and then was on to the next one. And while that may seem callous, it was a system that did work. You know, it's not like it really blew up in his face ever. Drafting Maroney, you could say, maybe was a waste of a first-round pick. And, you know, his career was kind of disappointing, but they did have that crazy season with him, and it's not like he gave you nothing. But, yeah, you know, there was probably other guys they could have had, and there was definitely some misses that they had, too. Sony Michel, I mean, they could have had Nick Chubb instead of Sony Michel, right? But didn't Chubb go after that? Or maybe I'm misremembering? Either way, it's not like Michel was some superstar, but he was huge in those playoffs. And when the time was right, Bill shipped him out of here and brought in the next guy, and that's the way it went. He drafted the next guy and then, you know, slowly pushed the guy out the door. And with Henderson, I don't know. I mean, that's a player who I think is going to have probably more of like a James White, Kevin Faulk type of career, probably than like a Stephen Ridley or Sony Michel or a Damian Harris or one of those, just because of the different things he's able to do. And as his pass blocking skills continue to evolve, he's gotten much better at that this year. He was awful to start the year. And he's definitely improved a lot. He's been catching the ball more often. And the speed is just, you know, that was one of those things with James White. You weren't ever going to give up on that speed. You may not hand the ball off to him very often. You know, that's LeGarrette Blount's job. But when you need him out there, he'll pick up a blitz. He'll catch the ball. And when he catches the ball, if he's got some space in front of him, he's gone. And Henderson reminds me a lot of like that type of player. And that type of player, if you stay healthy and you still got that burst, you can stay in the league a very long time. And that sort of flies in the face of what I was saying about running backs, but I don't think that Henderson's a conventional running back. So I think that he has the opportunity anyway. He's got the skill set, all the tools, I would say, to have a longer career. But I guess we'll see. Right now, very, very strong rookie year. Let's go to Steve in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Christine. Last year watching Drake May, I thought we missed again. I said, this is not the future, right? This kid's overthrowing, underthrowing. He's fumbling, having turnovers. I remember Andy Hart in the midday show talking about, you know, and I agreed with him, saying this kid's, you know, maybe not even that bright after watching his press conferences. I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, every time I watch this kid, I feel like I owe him an apology. He is unbelievable. This kid is a superstar, and we are lucky to have him.
Absolutely. Thanks. Steve, thanks for the call. I'll do you one better. I didn't even want him. I didn't want him in the first place. I didn't think it was worth the draft pick at number 3. He's the third best quarterback. He's in the ACC. He doesn't have a lot of experience. He's got raw talent and ability, but like all these guys have raw talent and ability. What's that mean? You know, Trey Lance had raw talent and ability. You know, where's that guy? Like, it's, you know what I mean? Not that I thought he was going to be Trey Lance, but I just didn't think he'd be this. I didn't think he'd be anything close to this. I thought maybe, like, best case scenario, he'd have, like, a couple of seasons in his mid to late 20s where he looked like maybe Josh Allen looks now, or how Josh Allen looked like in those first couple years. Although Allen was awesome, like, pretty soon after that first year. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I very much underestimated Drake May. I think a lot of people did. And to the people who didn't, you deserve to shake your ass in my face and everybody else's face all you want. Because I'll admit it, I didn't think that was a good idea. I thought drafting a quarterback and dropping him onto this team in the condition that it was in, I thought was malpractice. And really, last year, it kind of was, if we're being honest here. But, you know, Mike Vrabel and McDaniels and everybody coming in and basically lifting this whole team up, the tremendous strides that Drake May has also made, I think, has clearly changed history and made people like me look very stupid. Yes, Joe.
Are you sure you want Shime shaking your ass in front of him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. 617-779-7937 is the phone number.
I have an absolute wow. dump truck ass.
I just got a text from Shime. I wonder what it is. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, we talked a lot about them yesterday. There are three other guys on the ballot, and only three of the five are going to go in. So I'm going to go down the list, and I'm going to tell you who should make it and who shouldn't. And my list may surprise you. Don't go anywhere. 617-779-7937. Short show tonight, so if you want to jump in, do it now. We'll be right back.
Three guys right on him. He just goes, Phew.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Bill is a first ballot Hall of Famer? How do you think it plays out?
I think Bill is the most first ballot guy you could find among coaches. He's the greatest coach of all time. He might be the greatest coach in American professional sports history. You want to Scotty Bowman me? You want to give me Red Auerbach in a 16 league? Do you want to give me Casey Stengel, Bill Walsh, Vince Lombardi? Those guys did it for half the time Bill did and didn't roll up nearly as many Super Bowls. So he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, there's going to be people who go in there and hand ring about, what about Spygate, though? We don't know. What about the Spygate? What did Bill know? What about North Carolina? What do you think? Shut up. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Don't embarrass yourself.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
That was great. I loved that. That was so funny because I don't think that Tom knew everything that Ted said yesterday. He must not have heard it, but it was all over the place. I mean, I heard it in real time, but I also saw it all over the internet. And Tom's going, what about Spygate? What about this? What about that? And Ted's like, yeah, what about it? That's my point yesterday. And I said what I had to say about all that. I think that I'm more on current side of this than I am on Ted's. Although I respect Ted's beliefs and, why he feels the way that he does. I just disagree with him. I mean, that's a fair thing to do. It's sports. We talk about sports.
Shut up. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Don't embarrass yourself.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel. I think not having him in on the first ballot would be embarrassing. I think that would be embarrassing. Especially if Spygate is the thing keeping him out. Like, that just seems to me like that's pretty silly to me. I said it yesterday. I don't have to get back into it now. But what I do want to talk about here is something I never even really got to last night. I never really even got to this. And that is, who am I putting in? The way it works is that you got Kraft, you've got Belichick, you have got LC Greenwood, from the Steelers, that steel curtain team that I was just talking about. Roger Craig, the running back on those Niners teams, another, you know, dynasty I was just talking about. And Ken Anderson, who was the quarterback of the Bengals, and he won that one MVP, and that was about it. That's basically all he did. He lost in the Super Bowl, I think, once, maybe twice. No, just the once, because then Boomer took over in that second one the Bengals were in. They lost both of them. But Anderson was there a long time. He was a good soldier. He's a Bengals Hall of Famer for sure. But for the Football Hall of Fame, I would say probably not. 16 seasons, just 4 Pro Bowls. And that was at a time when there were a lot of good quarterbacks, but it's the Hall of Fame.
Shut up.
Was an All-Pro once. Was an MVP once. Offensive Player of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year. That was all in 1981. And he led the league in passer rating 4 times. Sorry, Ken, but it's just not going to happen for you this year. Not in the Arcan Hall. Roger Craig. 11 seasons. 4 Pro Bowls. 1-time All-Pro. 3-time Super Bowl winner. And on the all 1980s, all decade team. And he was 3rd in MVP in 1988. The big problem with him and the reason why he didn't go in initially is because his stretch was really only like 5 years of really being dominant. And then the last 4 years of his career, he fell off a cliff. And that's not my opinion. That's just, you can go look at his page. And that doesn't take away what he did in the time that he did it. And also the fact that he's a 19 of that decade considered the best running back or one of the best 2 running backs of that decade. We'll circle back to him. How about that? LC Greenwood, 13 seasons, 6-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All Pro, 4 Super Bowls on the all 1970s team. The biggest knock on him, and this is when I talk about like the MVP and the Hall of Fame and the politics that go into it and the voters and all of that. He played next to Mean Joe Green, okay? He was a defensive end. Joe Green's over there on the other side. Jack Ham and Jack Lambert were on that defense too. All the Steelers from the 70s are in already, so I mean, I think there was just some Steeler fatigue. And also, and this I didn't even realize, they didn't track sacks as a stat until after he retired. Green too, I think. I don't know if Green ever, if they ever actually recorded the sacks. Now, they went back and looked it up, and the Steelers, I think, went through all the games and ended up, getting the rough estimate of how many sacks both of those guys had. It's crazy. Greenwood had 78. Mean Joe Green had 77. The only Steeler with more than that is James Harrison. And LC Greenwood, I mean, he should be in. He's an all-decade guy. Roger Craig, all-decade guy. Both of those guys, I think, have to go in. If you're on the all-decade team, that means you're in the Hall of Fame, in the Arcan Hall of Fame. So what does that mean? Sorry, Ken Anderson, you're out. And sorry, one of Bill or Belichick, excuse me, Bill or Robert, one of you has to be out too. Because if I'm being consistent here, and I am nothing if not consistent, right? Would you agree with that, Joe? Is that my best trait? As a broadcaster, my consistency?
Consistency is key, my friend, and you have it.
I do. I have it. I try to be consistent. I try to make that a cornerstone of the program. I try not to say something and then say something the opposite of that right afterwards. Although, technically, I did say that Bill never gives running backs a second contract. He gave James White, like, 3 contracts. But that was sort of the point, is that I think that Henderson's more of a James White type than he is between the tackles runners, which are the ones that Bill cycled through very quickly. That was never really James White's game. And that, I think, is why he was able to stick around as long as he could, because what he did in the passing game and the other things that he was able to do. You move on from Ridley, you move on from LeGarrette Blount, and then bring him back, but then move on again. You know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, other guys that you mentioned. More recently, Sony Michel, into Damian Harris, into Ramondre Stevenson, etc. But Henderson's more like on that other side of things. Kevin Faulk played here a long time, too. And I think that's no coincidence. Running backs that can catch passes and do that, and especially fast ones like James White and Travion Henderson, that's something you want to try and keep around. That's not something you can really teach. And that's also something that I think has a longer shelf life than your average running back. But anyway, back to all this. If Craig's in and Greenwood's in, then it's between Bill and Robert. And between Bill and Robert, it's Bill. It's Bill. Sorry, Ted, it's Bill. And I know I just spent all this time talking about how Robert has really strengthened his case and how I think he's getting in, first of all. I'm just telling you, my being consistent here, being consistent, trying to be anyway. If I'm going the way that I said I'd go about this, if I had the vote, all-decade team, you're in. Best coach of all time, you're in. The owner's got to wait. Sorry, I know. I know he's old. I know he's been snubbed over and over again, and I don't think that's fair, but I'm not. That doesn't mean it's, you know, now fair to snub Roger Craig or fair to snub Elsie Greenwood. Those guys deserve to be in. They're all-decade players. If you're on the all-decade team, you should be in the Hall of Fame. Every single person who's been on an all-decade team, unless they killed somebody, should be in the, you know, should be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, as for Belichick versus Kraft, Kraft should already be in. I'm not disagreeing with that. But if it's a player or a coach versus an owner, I'm sorry, but I'm going to side with the player and the coach every single time. Every single time. You know, that's what I think of when I think of the Hall of Fame. I don't think of the owners. Even the real revolutionary ones, like, they should have their moment and they should be in there, but they shouldn't be going in ahead of the players and the coach. I just don't think, you know, like, that's how I view the Hall of Fame. That's what I think of when I think of the Hall of Fame. I think players over coaches and coaches over owners, and that's sort of where I'm at. You know, like, that to me just tracks. That makes the most sense. So, sorry, Robert. I know this is really going to bust you up, but not making it into the Arcan Hall this year. And it's just, it's a matter of consistency. It's a matter of me being consistent. And I'm trying to stay neutral on all the other stuff, on all the crap that's happened in the past and everything else. I'm just looking at this class, and I'm looking at these people.
Oh, good. Well, that's nice.
But I will say that I think that Robert should already be in. It's a crime that he isn't, and that may supersede the, you know, just in terms of what actually happens here. What actually is going to happen? What do I think is actually going to happen? I just told you who I would take. What do I think is actually going to happen? I think it's going to be Craig, Bill, and Robert. I think it's going to be those three. Craig or Greenwood, I guess it could be what either one. Two all-decade guys. I feel like Craig, both of those guys kind of got overshadowed by the rest of their team. Craig got overshadowed by the rest of that offense. Jerry Rice and Montana and everybody. And for Greenwood, I mean, you know, just on the line alone with him already was all these Hall of Famers and these Hall of Fame linebackers and everybody on that Steelers, excuse me, Steelers team all just, you know, they all waltzed right into the Hall of Fame, which I think is kind of bogus that Greenwood didn't make it, but whatever. So, you know, I'm not a Steelers fan. I don't really care. But when you go back and really look at it, like, he should be there. If he's all decade, he should be there. So if it's between those two, I think Craig probably gets it. Craig probably gets it. But it could go either way. So I would say it's likely to be Bill, Robert, and Craig. And if they all have to go to the awards together, it's probably going to be pretty awkward for Roger Craig, wouldn't you think? He has to sit there while those two are just, you know, pretending like they don't hate each other.
Imagine they're, like, mapping everything out, and they're like, okay, Roger, you're going to be here, and both Kraft or Belichick would be like, I don't want to stand next to him. So he's got to be in the middle of those two?
Oh, he'll definitely have to be in the middle. He'll have to be, like, the buffer. Family had a lot of buffers. He's going to have to be the buffer there between between the two of them. Like I was with Mike Adams and Mutt for that one glorious year where those two were just ready to beat the bleep out of each other. And so Joe Zarbano at the time called me. He said, Arcan, we need you to be in there and prevent those two from hurting each other. I said, sure. I was doing trending at the time. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Get me in there. And I never left. But yeah, that was a little lore about my career. My start at EEI. I was working at Total Traffic Metro, which is back then they used to farm out the trendings and the sports flash to this place, and you could be there, but you'd also be on the air too if you were part of the show. Like Pete Shepard was part of the big show, but like, you know, the Saucier and Scott Sudikoff and, you know, all these other guys who were there, they all would go to Total Traffic and they do it, you know, on remote. They do the trendings on remote. And that's what I was doing at first, and I was just trying to break in and just get on the air at EEI. And then eventually, they brought in Mutt on the night show with Mikey, and the two of them, I mean, just oil and vinegar, they hated each other. Oh, did they hate each other? I think they still do hate each other. And that was when I got my call up to the big leagues to get in between. And that's what Roger Craig's going to have to do with Bill Belichick. Excuse me, and Robert Kraft.
Your call to the Hall was playing peacekeeper.
Pretty much. I don't think those two are going to be throwing headphones at each other or anything like that, which is may or may not have happened in the old studio. But, yeah, it is definitely going to be awkward. It's definitely going to be an awkward ride. You know, it's like two friends sharing a ride to the prom and one of them hooked up with the other's boyfriend or something. You know what I mean? It's just going to be like one of those weird, long, awkward car rides. And it's going to be great. I think it's going to be terrific.
Then you're a real schmuck.
Especially if Jordan is involved. If Jordan is involved, sign me up, fella. I'm ready for whatever the next piece of the Jordan Hudson show is going to be, whatever the next chapter of that is, the next episode. I don't think much of her. I think she's kind of, I don't think she's very smart, but I am very interested in watching all these wild decisions that she's been making. And her as the keeper of the Belichick legacy right now, I think, is a very, very smart move on Bill's part. So whatever happens, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope that she's involved in it somehow. Maybe she could introduce both of them. Here's the greatest coach of all time and the a-hole who hired him. That'd be something. Just make it the Jordan show. You want to put asses in seats? Get Jordan on the microphone. Get her on there. She doesn't talk that much. You notice that? Like, the only time you ever really hear is CBS when she's telling people what they can and can't ask Bill. And there was that other video where they were at Underdog and she was whispering about how bad she's good at Adobe Photoshop and all that. But other than that, I feel like you don't hear much from her.
Not talking about this.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't hear her voice that much. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places. But, like, you see her a lot. You see her. You see her cheerleading. You see her on the sidelines. You see her a lot. But I feel like I don't hear her that often. So I want to hear more from Jordan.
Well, now, just to be fair to Belichick and talking about the optics with Kraft, he did, at least in his statement, talking about making the Hall of Fame. If you saw it on IG, he said, congrats to the other finalists, Craig Anderson, and, of course, Robert Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to see all of the deserving Patriots selected this year.
Yeah, he did. He did make a point of that. And Kraft has gone out of his way, you know, since all that happened to say nice things about Bill, except for when he didn't, except for when he went on the Breakfast Club and was like, I had to fire him. And they're like, you fired him? He's like, yeah, I fired him. Fired his ass. I didn't want to, but I had to. Like, yeah, he was just the worst. I took a real chance on him, and it was great, but then I had to fire him. And then Bill was like, I took a chance on you. I took a chance on your piece of garbage team coming over there and coaching. And spurning the Jets and doing so and all that, not to go back down that road, but, you know, it is kind of fun to, you know, think back to the genesis of all this.
Coaching career ends. We look forward to sitting down with him and having a statue.
But you know what's going to happen. If they both go to the Hall of Fame, for appearances, they'll put all their differences aside and they'll shake hands and they'll hug and they'll, you know, say great things about each other and, you know, talk about the good old days, and that's what, you know, that's what the Hall of Fame's all about. Unless Jordan gets involved. And that's why I want Jordan to get involved in this, and I want it to get messy. I want Jordan to go full Jordan and make it all about the drama. That would be, you know, that's better for me. It's better for people like me. We've had plenty of time to reminisce about the Patriots dynasties, okay? We've seen a million documentaries about them. There's some sort of ceremony every single year. There's the Tom Brady ceremony. We had the Gronk ceremony. We're going to have the Belichick ceremony. There's a statue unveiling. There's all this stuff. We've had plenty of time to reminisce. I want some of the drama to come out. I want some of the beef to come out. That's what I'm looking at. We've got breaking news.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
Breaking news, Jeff Passan, moments ago. The Boston Red Sox are acquiring right-hander Johan Oviedo in a deal that will send outfielder Justnickson García back to Pittsburgh. It is a 5-player trade. The password headed to Pittsburgh. Johan Oviedo, who is Cuban, I believe, will be headed to Boston. Johan Oviedo, 27 years old, right-handed, born in Havana. He was previously with the St. Louis Cardinals. He signed with them as an international free agent. Made his debut in 2020 and was selected to the active roster that August. The Pittsburgh Pirates then traded for him. It was Oviedo, Malcolm Nunez traded to Pittsburgh in exchange for Jose Quintana and Chris Stratton. Seven starts for Pittsburgh. You logged a 2-2 record with a 3.23 ERA, 28 strikeouts. 2023 pitched an immaculate inning. Began his 2025 season on the injured list due to a lat injury. Made his first mound appearance since 2023 on July 2nd, 2025. A rehab start in the Florida Complex League. He was activated from the injured list on August 4th. I'll be honest with you, I don't know a lot about this guy. It's not a name that was on my radar, not a name that I'd heard anyone discussing. It sounds like he gets hurt a lot. Is this guy on your radar, Joe Oviedo?
I honestly hadn't heard of him either.
I never even heard of him as a person. I pay pretty close attention, I like to think, to Major League Baseball. The Pirates, maybe not so much lately, when it's not Paul Skeens. But, this guy, I'm not going to say he's a total unknown. I think I've seen the name maybe before, but I couldn't tell you much about him. Just real quick, snap judgment here. I'm not sad that they traded the password. It was a fun nickname, but, you know, they have a lot of outfielders. I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with them going out and getting some pitching. But this seems to me more like one of these injury rehabilitation type of things, you know, like not exactly the same as like a Patrick Sandoval. Sandoval they brought over and he's injured and he's rehabbing the injury while this is going on. Same with the closer, the Australian closer whose name escapes me at the moment.
Liam Hendricks,
yeah, like a guy who they traded and who was already injured when he got here. Like, there's been a couple of those. There's been some of those, and it does get kind of frustrating. You do get these guys on a deal. Lucas Giolito is another one. You know, you get these guys, and you get them for cheaper because they're hurt, but then they're not available, and then sometimes they don't ever get back to where they should be. Every once in a while, you get a Giolito was a great story, and he was very, very good for them this year. He's probably gone, but, you know, he was a yeoman this year, and he probably pitched himself right into a nice big contract. But, you know, if this is another case of them making a trade and hoping that some guy who's been injured a lot over the last 3 years is now able to post, and not only that, but be a productive starter in this rotation. That's the problem, is that everybody was hurt. Everybody got hurt. You know, you got down to the end of the season, you had three starters, and you were plucking guys off AAA. Like, that's, you know, that's what it came down to. So I'm not necessarily doing backflips over a guy who hadn't pitched in 2 years and then finally, you know, came on this last year. Yeah, he made his first mound appearance since 2023 on July 2nd, 2025. And that was a rehab start for the rookie league. Activated on August 4th. Do we have stats on him when he actually got called up? That would be useful. Because, again, I'm surprised by this news, as I think a lot of people. Let's see. He's called up in August. Oh, he made a start against the Red Sox. And he won. They won the start. Beat him 10-3. I don't remember that game. You know why I don't remember that game? Because it was on a Saturday. That was not a game that I did pre and post for. So I must have been doing something that day. Anyway, he had a good game. 5 innings, 2 runs on 3 hits. Not a bad season, really. I mean, he didn't make that many starts. He only pitched 40 innings. But a 3.57 ERA. 26 hits. 42 strikeouts in 40 innings. I mean, he doesn't seem like a bum, but I don't know. Hey, it's a move. They're making moves. They're trying to restock that pitching staff, and I'm okay with that. I don't know a lot about this guy. I'll do some more research, I guess, between now and tomorrow. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Here is Joe Braverman to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here. I may just skip this Florio thing because I do have some more things to say about this trade. When do we have to be out by? How much time do I have? 2 minutes? All right, 2 minutes real quick. Oviedo had Tommy John surgery and missed almost all of 2024. Came back pretty strong last year. I just gave you some of his numbers. Pretty good. I don't mind them trading Garcia, the password there. What did you just tell me, Joe? You think this may...
Well, I'm just in chat with the Play Tessie guys. They love the upside that he has, mm-hmm. and that it could potentially increase the odds of another starter being traded, like a Brian Bello, to maybe get those big fish like a Joe Ryan or Freddy Peralta.
Okay. The full trade is the Red Sox get Oviedo and two prospects. They are Tyler Samaniego and Adonis Guzman. And that's for Garcia, Jesus Travieso, and I think that's it. So it's a five-player trade. Do you know anything about Samaniego or Guzman? Anything about those two guys?
I do not.
It's Adonis with a Y. I've never seen it spelled like that before, but that's cool. He's a big guy, this Oviedo. Big, big boy. 6'6", 275. And now he's a Red Sox. We'll have more on this tomorrow. Stick around. We got Thursday Night Football coming your way. It's a good matchup tonight. The Cowboys and the Lions, both teams desperate for a win. So keep it right here on your home for football. Sports Radio, WEEI, Boston Sports Original. That's all the time I have here tonight. I'm back tomorrow for an hour. I'll talk to you at 6 o'clock right here on Boston Sports Original. Good night now. One of Bill or Belichick.
Shut up.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.